Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Project Love podcast. We are here together in person.
In person.
It's amazing. And we are at the end of another quarter.
Oh, I'm actually feeling quite relieved at the end of another quarter because I'm ready to do the last quarter of 2020 and say a firm goodbye 2020. Hello 2021. No plug intended.
I know we say this every time, but it has gone so fast. I can't believe that we're in at the end of September.
I don't
October.
Know. I do not feel like it's gone fast. I already feel like summer was a long time ago, and this feels like the never-ending year. It does not feel like it's sped by.
I feel like the other day I looked at my phone and it was the 1st of September and I had such a fright because it just felt like, whoa, September. And then literally today as of recording it, it's the 25th of September, which felt like 2 days ago. We were at the beginning of the month. So time is doing a weird thing for me right now.
So how are you feeling at the moment?
Oh, I think the last few weeks of this 6 month pandemic journey has been the hardest for me.
Really?
And I don't know if I'm just having a delayed reaction to just the collective trauma and grief that we've all been through, or whether it's just what Brené Brown calls day two, the messy middle bit of the pandemic. You know, we've now done 6 months of this, and it's just, I guess, looking to the next 6 months or more and thinking, okay, there's so much more to go. And I've just been feeling the weight of that. So, yeah, just been navigating that basically over the last few weeks. Actually, Brené Brown's podcast really helped yesterday, listening to that. Unlocking Us, it's called, on Spotify. And yeah, I think I'm just feeling the effects of being in a pandemic for the last 6 months and really needing to slow right down, up my self-care, really take things slow and give myself loads of time to rest and recharge my batteries, which I have been doing over the last few weeks. But I think maybe it's in slowing down. I've really felt the grief of it all.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And also, it reminds me of many, many years ago, I used to run the 30-day challenge. And halfway through, you hit the midway slump. So it was called the midway slump. So, you know, we've done 6 months. Yeah. And by the sounds of it, certainly here in the UK, we're going to have at least 6 months of restrictions in one way or another. They may ease off a bit. I think in June, when the summer came, when restrictions started being lifted, there was a lot of hope and like, oh, finally, you know, we're coming out the other side. There was talk about, maybe a second wave in the winter, but we're not in the winter, we're in the summer. And everyone was like, you know, just out and enjoying life and seeing friends again and family again. And now we're going back in and we're hitting this halfway, this midway point, the midway slump. And it is a point where you lose momentum. You feel like, oh God, you know, almost the novelty of even though it was sort of traumatic, the novelty has kind of worn off. And now you're like trudging through and you're looking ahead of you and there's still so much more to go. And it is about, I think the best thing to do is to hunker down, take a breather, and make sure you're doing all the things that you need to do on a day-to-day basis to feel as energized, as calm, as grounded, as nourished as you can. And then let's start slowly picking ourselves up and going, okay, we've got these 6 months, potentially a little more. Let's go with 6 months.
Yes, please.
this is what we're dealing with. We know what we're dealing with now. What are we going to do with those 6 months? How are we going to make those 6 months something that, you know, where we build the resilience and actually we get through it and actually come out those 6 months to going, you know what, there were some beautiful things that came out of those 6 months, some things that, ways that I grew and new connections or things that I created or you know, whatever it may be. But that midway point is a time to actually just... I certainly felt it as when Sam went back to school. It felt like for a moment, that real life, normal life had returned. And I was almost like in shock of like, what the hell have we just lived through? Then I got the shock this past week of going into town and being like, this is not normal life returned. It's a ghost town in central London. I felt so sad. So like, you know, the buzz of London, that's what it is. It's a buzzing city and it's not. And you've got cafes shut up and it's just like, it's like an alternate universe and I don't much enjoy it. But you go back home, you know, hunker down. And also we're moving into a new season. We're moving out of summer into autumn. Now, some people love when the colder weather kicks in and they get out their thick coats. I know Sarah Powell loves winter and longs for summer to be over. but I'm a real summer baby. I'm not a baby. What's it called? I'm a real summer person. Yeah. I don't know why a baby. Oh, you know why? Because at school, summer babies. My son is a summer baby. He's born in the summer. It's like, there's a term, but I don't think that's correct for me. I'm not sure I'm a summer baby. That's right. So I'm a sun worshiper. I love the sun. So for me, transitioning into autumn always comes with a bit of, I feel discombobulated. I feel like, oh, saying goodbye to summer.
Yeah.
It gets cold. Today is cold. I'm wearing boots again. I'm like, my feet don't like it. And my energy dips. My energy immediately dips. I start to get a cold. It's like the same. Mm. So that's also, I feel like, I was just like, what am I feeling? And I was just like, I'm feeling in transition. And the moment I said that, I was like, oh, it's a bit like the midway slump. You're in transition. It always feels funny. You always feel discombobulated. You always feel a bit, because transition is in its very nature changing. And, you know, we always struggle with that. So,
and that's never going to be comfortable.
It's never going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
So it's fine. We're in transition. We're in a midway slump. These are hard times. So it's about looking at what do I need to lift my spirits. It's back to the, you know, the simple pleasures, lift my spirits. How can I bring laughter and play and joy into my day to day, even with everything going on? And also, you know, this, at the time of recording this, we had the news of Breonna Taylor. So all of that going on and the grief of that and the agony of that, you know, particularly, you know, with the Black community, it's just, there's a lot going on. So it's the same old, just be still, nourish yourself, wrap yourself in the love of your loved ones, whether it's actually in person or on the phone, you know, and we'll get through this. We can do this. So, yeah.
Yeah. It really helps having a name for it. Being in transition.
Oh my God.
The midway point.
But labeling makes such a difference. And that's why when we did the 30-day challenge, we used to say, you're at the midway point now. This is often the time a lot of people start to unravel and they start to struggle and they start to procrastinate and they don't think they can go on and they want to give up on this project. I mean, this was a 30-day project, not a one-year global pandemic that we're halfway through. And it's probably more going to be more than that. But anyway, but just labeling it.
Yeah.
We found, because we did the course like over a period of sort of 5 years or something. And at the start, we didn't. We were like, what happens halfway through? And they also, the wheels come off. And then as we started to label it, people knew, oh, okay, this is to be expected. They were like, this is fine. I'm feeling this way, but it's normal. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's a relief. Fine then, I'll just ride it out. And that's it. Let's just ride it out.
Yeah. Together.
Together. So that was the longest answer to how you're feeling on the history of a quarterly check-in. We will not be spending so much time on all the other questions, ideally. I'll be here for like 3 hours. So we're going to take it in turns answering the questions. This is obviously in the quarterly check-in in your goodbye 2019, hello 2020. If for any reason you don't have one, make sure you do get the goodbye 2020, hello 2021, so you can do it with us every quarter next year. But if you don't have one, then, you know, we'll be taking you through the questions one at a time. So who's going to go next? What happened in your life since July?
Oh, I want to ask you that question.
Oh, okay, fine.
What happened in your life?
What happened in my life? So, well, since July, I feel like it was a summer of seeing friends again, being with people in person, out in the sunshine. Mm. We got together with friends in a park, didn't we? And friends of ours made this amazing feast so we could all be together outside, under 30 people. I went to Margate. I swam in the sea. I never swim in the English sea. In the sea. I went on a train and to a restaurant for the first time since March. I saw my brother, sister-in-law and their kids that have been in Austin. I haven't seen them since the start of the year because we couldn't get over there. A friend of ours, Kate, came back from Australia to visit. Like, suddenly people coming back from the other parts of the world is a huge thing. Other things, well, finished the book again. Finally, properly finished the book. My son went back to school.
Yay!
For the first time. Well, he'd been for a couple of weeks since March, but he's back to school full time, which is not just amazing for us, but also amazing for him. And I got to go to the sea in Devon and was so blessed to be able to hang out there for like a big chunk, 3 weeks. Mm. And kayaking, paddleboarding, like really me and the sea, we go way back.
Yeah.
But my soul, there's a saying, they say you find your soul by the sea. And I experienced that so much. So it was raining sometimes, but when we had, the sunny moments, it was, I don't even mind the rain when I'm on the sea. I'm like, I'll take it any weather. So actually, when I started to look back, at first I was like, I don't know what I've done since July. And actually it has been lovely. It has been a kind of lovely break for me in amongst it all. And also I got to hang out in our lovely new kitchen and patio and garden, which we've been creating. And that has been pretty fantastic. Mm. So, yeah.
And it looks amazing.
It looks amazing.
I had the pleasure of spending a day there last week.
And I put you, I said, Vicky and Pav came round for a barbecue.
Yeah.
These are big, but isn't it funny how, you know, actually these are significantly big moments for me in the past quarter.
Yeah.
Because, because it felt so special, because it is so special.
Yeah.
Oh, and my Audible series, The Career Change Coach, came out.
Oh my God, so, that's so exciting. Much good stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my past quarter. So it was actually, the end has felt a little tough, but the actual proper summer months were good. Actually, they were good.
Yeah, there were lots of reunions, weren't there?
Yeah.
This quarter, lots of connection, like real meaningful connection, in person contact, and just being together.
And obviously there were weddings that didn't happen, you know, there were birthday celebrations that didn't happen, but in amongst all of that and those disappointments, I think just celebrating being with our friends and family, you know, got to hang out with my parents, got to hang out with my son for the first time, you know, and made up for lost time. And that was really special when they had their first hug with him. It was beautiful. So yeah, got to remember that there were some good times this summer. I'm gonna hold on to them as we head into the winter. But yeah, next question: what have you done that you're proud of, Vicky?
So I feel like the last few months have really highlighted what's really important in my life. And I just feel so proud of my relationships, the friendships, the people in my life who I'm lucky enough to call a friend, the relationship with my husband. I just feel really proud of how I invest in them. Oh, I'm getting a lump in my throat. Yeah, I feel really proud of how I invest in my relationships and just how nourishing and supportive they are. And I feel really proud of my clients that have gone through coaching journeys with me over the last few months, many of them finishing those journeys now, next week and the week after. And yeah, it's just amazing every time, you know, seeing seeing them open up and open up their heart to love and connection, even though it's the scariest thing in the world to do. And I just feel so proud of their courage and vulnerability. And then the other thing that I'm really proud of is how I look after myself and the relationship that I have with myself, and how I've really upped my self-care over these last few months, and just how I continue to support myself through ups and downs in life.
Oh my God, that is such a good answer.
That's so inspiring. I love that. I absolutely love that. That is beautiful. Oh, thank you. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, that's it. So the next question is, what were your happiest moments?
Being back on the water, paddle boarding. I did yoga on the beach with a teacher down in Devon, and I didn't know if they were going to do it, and they did. And it was, I did it twice, and that was good. Kayaking to this little secret beach where you can only get to by boat. Hanging out in the sun at home with the hanging chair. That was my dream. A dream that turned out you can get for £30. It was pretty good. I love a dream that's a bargain. That was just, and the doors open to the patio. And like, you know, it has been a number of years now of slowly bringing to life our dream of, having a beautiful home. And the kitchen part and patio part is now done. So really getting to enjoy that. And hanging out with friends and just, being really, I suppose this time, one of the things that's just made me really, really appreciate and be grateful for any of the time that I get to spend in real life, in person with friends, because it feels not so frequent now. Lots of reunions. Happy reunions.
And doing the podcast in real life too. So sacred doing it in this way now. It makes you really appreciate every time we're able to do it in person.
Yeah. And going to a restaurant.
Yes.
I think I've only been to a restaurant once since March, but that's why it was so special.
Yeah.
I've done twice. So there have been lots of happy moments, actually. What were your most challenging moments?
There's a few, actually, in here. I'll give you... Maybe pick two. I booked a holiday to Portugal when it was on the safe list, and haven't been away for a while. I think a year, maybe, was the last holiday, or maybe more than that actually. And so I was really looking forward to this holiday, and then Portugal, just 2 weeks before we were supposed to go, Portugal was then removed from the safe list. So you can go, but it's, you know, you need to quarantine afterwards. And also it just feels like the whole point of a holiday is to go and relax and recharge, and it felt a little bit sort of like we're not supposed to be going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we had to cancel it, and I was really gutted. And I know in the context of, you know, everything that's going on in the world now, it's totally fine, but I was really gutted about it.
I think what one of the things this has highlighted is actually how important holidays, just breaks, time away from your day-to-day life,
from home,
is so important for mental, emotional, spiritual health. You know, like I remember other, always when we go through our quarterly reflections, we've said, both of us have said, mentioned time away in the countryside by the sea, and how nourishing that was. And suddenly that's become a lot harder, particularly in a time where we literally couldn't go anywhere. You realize how important holidays and breaks are.
Yes.
And exactly, having to go out with them is hard, and it does feel hard. I know in the grand scheme of things, it's like, I couldn't go on a holiday. It's just like, well, it's kind of, it's more than that.
It's more than that. And I think it's just the sort of bigger idea of so much change in such a short space of time. And even, you know, the fact that you'd book a holiday and not know if you're actually going to go. So we booked it like, okay, we'll go away in a month's time. but this booking means nothing. And it's just all the little changes, I think, that can be really difficult. Having to, you'll make a plan and then you have to make a new plan and sort of recalibrate. And yeah, the unknown, and plans really meaning very little at the moment. So I do have a sort of remedy to this, which I'll tell you in my commitments that I'm really excited about, something I'm doing next week.
Great. The amount of uncertainty we're all now having to deal with on, you know, small levels, big levels, that takes a lot of energy.
Yes, yeah.
It makes you feel that you can't fully relax
and
you can't fully rest. And that's why focusing on relaxing and resting in ways that you can is actually so important to balance that out.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So I think that's been my main challenge, really, just the change. The amount of change, and also just so much uncertainty,
and so many, you know, so many things that we used to take for granted that now don't happen and don't exist. Like, I just keep thinking of all these businesses, even like the Metro newspaper. I was like, they must have been like, when, like, one thing we know for sure, people have to go to work every day. One thing we know for sure is that in central London, there is a huge footfall of tens of thousands of people. One thing we know for sure is people won't be afraid to pick up a newspaper and touch it with their fingers.
Yeah.
Like, and then I don't even know how the Metro is doing, but I can't imagine it's doing very well. It's a newspaper, free newspaper in London. But then you think of also like the cafes that were outside a station in the center of town. Like, one thing we know for sure is we get X amount of huge amounts of people every day coming here wanting a coffee. No, turns out they don't. Like, there's so much of that. Ugh.
And the music industry is the same thing.
Events.
We know people want to go to gigs. We know people want to go dancing. They want to go, you know, clubbing. It's and people do, but we, you know, we can't.
Yeah, we really do.
When we can't.
Yeah, exactly. It's really heavy. It's really heavy. I want to share my, I know we're taking it in turns, but I just want to share my challenging moments. Living in a flipping pandemic with schools shut. That was my challenge. But also, inexplicably, our local council have done this road closure thing. It's in some attempt to bring down pollution. But what it's done is created gridlock along all the main roads. School kids take 2 hours to get to school now and back. Businesses are being hugely affected because they can't get anywhere because they can only get there through the gridlock traffic. I know teachers that get to school every day late. It used to take them 20 minutes. It takes them an hour and a half. It's horrific. Like, and apparently London, watch out, they're going to be rolling this out through 30 boroughs in London.
It's in Hackney now.
It's in Hackney. Yeah. In Wandsworth, they reversed it because it was causing so much disruption. The fact that a local council has done this to its community and the vulnerable are being hit the hardest, people who rely on cars to get around, people who rely on vans to take deliveries and get to work, people who take, you know, who travel, like kids on school buses, not school buses, kids on going to school on buses, they can only take a few number of kids, so they're waiting an hour to get on a bus and then an hour in gridlock traffic, which is why it takes 2 hours. It's horrific. I cannot understand what, and also the pollution increased on those main roads for the families that live there. Anyway, I'm absolutely astonished and horrified, and they will not back down. They're like, we're going to stick with this for 6 months.
No way.
Yeah. So every person you speak to in Lewisham who has to use a road, whose business is affected, or whose kids now are having to get up at 2 hours earlier to get to school, just like that. It's
so stressful. So stressful.
So yeah, there are challenges going on out there.
Yes.
Not to mention like just the bigger stuff of all the racism that's coming to the surface, and the agony and the pain and the grief and the around that, and just all of it, a lot of, you know, challenges, local and global. And I think it's important to just acknowledge that and not try to skip through it and oh well, we'll be fine. we need to acknowledge what the challenges we actually really are facing.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can rise up.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm. So what and who are you grateful for at this moment in your life?
Do you know what I wrote down? I was just like, I am so grateful for my incredible career. I experienced my career weirdly, like almost like a person, like a kind of an entity that I'm so grateful. I love so much. I feel like if she were an entity, the playfulness, the freedom, the creativity, the connection, the fulfillment I get to have with my career, it's like, this is not anything that anyone ever sat me down at school and said, this is what it can be like. Mm. I think if they did, I think the expectation would be crippling. Maybe too much pressure, perhaps. But I have always been so eternally grateful for my career and the way, you know, I get to evolve it and move with the times and move with my own desires of what I want to be focusing on. And yeah, I'm really grateful for my career and the people I get to work with. My career has always been one of those things that even in times where other things are challenging, life outside of work is challenging, my career has always been a space that I can step into and it's my playground. And I'm like, yeah, it's wonderful.
I love that.
So that's what came out of my gratitude. And I'm excited. I've got new things coming, new coaching programs, which I'll be announcing everywhere that you hear from me very soon. So, yeah, feeling very grateful. Grateful for the work that we do. Grateful for this podcast.
Yeah.
Grateful for our community. You know, I mean, honestly, the Project Love Lovin's, well, we'll be doing a quarterly lovin'.
Yes, it's coming.
Yeah. We'll be telling you about that at the end. But our community, our Project Love community, brings me so much joy. And yeah, so that's my gratitude.
Ah, my heart is full listening to that. Lovely.
Okay, it's check-in time. What did we say?
A drum roll. Commitments.
What did we say we were going to do at the start of July, and have we done it? So what did you say you were going to do?
So I said I was going to commit to weekly exercise and moving my body in a way that's really fun.
Yes. Tick.
I may have mentioned my trampoline.
Seems
to get a mention every time we jump on the podcast these days. Yeah, so weekly exercise in a way that's fun, anti-racism work, starting with me and white supremacy, and self-love dates with me.
So mine were, I went for an easy one, a course called Emerging Voices. I mean, I'd already signed up to it and I did do it to the end, but anyway, we'll get onto that. Sorry, jumping ahead. But yeah, reading and doing me and white supremacy as well, anti-racism work, and spending time reflecting and contemplating out in nature every week. What have you done from that? What haven't you done from that list?
So I did, when I looked at my diary, I saw that I had been doing my weekly exercise every week apart from 1 week. So
wow.
I'm going to say that's
Vicky, that's a definite yes.
I've done it,
what
haven't
do you
I?
Mean, what, you think the 1 week cancels out the 3 months?
I did start to tell myself a story that, oh, well, you said you were going to do it weekly. I had to have a little word with myself.
God.
I know.
That's huge. Yeah. Has it felt good?
Yeah.
We've heard how good it feels.
It's felt really good. And
it's been heavily documented here on the podcast.
It really has. I've loved it. I'm not going to lie. It's been amazing. Best lockdown purchase ever. I haven't yet finished Me and White Supremacy. And so I'm going to take that through to the next quarter so that I can really give it the time that it needs, because it's taken me longer than I anticipated.
Yeah.
And the self-love dates, yes. I thought I would do one each month. So I would have done 3 dates, but I actually did 4. So yes, I have done done my self-love dates. If there is anything that you didn't do from that list of commitments, then what do you think has got in the way of you doing it?
So my one was, I did Emerging Voices and it was great. And I finished Me and White Supremacy. I had one final journaling exercise to do at the end, which was to write my commitments. I finished the book a while ago. I hadn't done that. But because of this wonderful check-in deadline, it made me sit down last night and do it. So I did it. It's why I'm reminded of the power of doing check-ins and making commitments. And the one I didn't do was spending time every week in nature, kind of reflecting. And why didn't I do it? I forgot that I was going to do that. I didn't put any kind of reminder to do it. I didn't put it in my calendar. I didn't put an alarm on my phone. I really resist anything that feels like a regular routine thing. Every time I put something in here that I'm going to do this daily, I'm going to do this weekly, I almost invariably don't do it. So I'm not going to carry it through. And I'm not making any commitments that have me committed to something that I'm going to do every week or every day. So yeah, I did spend some wonderful time in nature, but I think I need it to be spontaneous. That could be an excuse. We could dig into that, but
I agree about the weekly thing. Like, even me putting in that weekly exercise, it's like, why did I need to say weekly? I know I'm gonna do it because I love doing it. I love, you know, moving my body in a way that's fun. But I think sometimes putting that weekly thing in there adds a lot of pressure because that's 12 weeks.
I think my resistance is because I hate being told what to do. And even though it's me telling me, it's still me telling me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, it's coming from you and you want to do it. And it's just like, no one tells me what to do. Even myself, I honestly think there's something around that. But I choose not to dig into that this month, and yeah, I've chosen to embrace the fact that I just want to, yeah, be spontaneous.
Great. That's a lesson in itself.
I say that, but I've actually, well, anyway, we'll get on to our commitments. What are you going to do to make sure that you create that time for Me and White Supremacy, the book?
So I need to put it in my diary.
Yeah.
That was where I went wrong. I was doing it every day for about 14 days, I think. And it was just part of my morning routine over breakfast. And then something happened, I don't know what, where it disrupted that daily routine.
Yeah.
And then I hadn't put it in my diary to carry on. I need to diarize it.
Yeah.
Basically.
Great. And what are your commitments for October?
Ooh.
One of the things that I put, because one of the questions is, what else would you like to do between now? Like, just a whole long list, and then you choose your commitments from there. My first one was buy a sofa. I am so excited about having a sofa to sit on. It's been years. Obviously, I've sat on other people's sofas. But, you know, I've never bought and owned my own sofa. 40 years old, first sofa. It's not happened yet, but it will.
Ooh, what
this
an
quarter.
Exciting adventure.
It's not one of my commitments, but I just want to flag that that is going to happen in my life, and it will be heavily documented on Instagram. What are your commitments between October and the end of 2020, apart from celebrating that 2020 is coming to an end? How sad. What a beautiful year it looked like. 2020, we knew it was going to be a big year. We did not know it was going to be big in this way.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about shaking things up, 2020. I mean, I admire your power.
Sure did that. So, three things that I'm committing to between now and the 31st of December is recommitting to anti-racism work. I'm also going to take myself away next week because I couldn't go on holiday. I've booked 2 nights away at a spa, just me.
Just you? I thought you were going with Pav.
No.
Vicky Pavitt. Let me just congratulate you on one of the biggest acts of self-love.
Yeah.
And really ties in with your celebration of your relationship with others and yourself.
Yeah,
that is
really going to
be amazing. Oh my God, just imagine that big bed, you starfished, and the plumpest pillows, having treatments.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And we just, I just saw an email from the spa yesterday saying now with the new restrictions in the UK about not being able to be in restaurants after 10, we may have to do room service a bit more than usual. I was like, great. I'm just going to eat in bed.
Not a problem.
That's fine.
I wasn't planning to get dressed and go to a restaurant anyway.
Yes. It was great. I just want to read books, sit in bed, eat in bed.
Oh, goodness me. That is so good.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Well done. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And then the last commitment is a date with my husband. So we went on a couple of dates in the last quarter and it was so nice just getting out of the house, being in a restaurant and just the whole novelty, as we were talking about, was just being in a restaurant again and the buzz of it. Just, yeah, like getting out of home and just having a change of scenery and eating lovely food. Definitely want to do that again this quarter. So date with Pav.
One of those, please.
Yeah.
So my three commitments, the first one is having a digital detox from 9 p.m. every night. Ooh. Read, journal, have a bath, phone a friend, watch a film, have sex, no shopping or house planning. So what I realized last year, I did a real, realized how addicted I got to my phone. And I now realize, now we've started doing phase two of sorting out the house and all these things we need to do, I need to buy and things, blah, blah, blah. All the logistics. I've started using my bedtime as a time where I use it to get all that stuff done. Mm. And I've noticed that this has started this week and I've noticed last night I was like, stop, this doesn't feel good. Where's the time for you again? It's like, I noticed, I was like, oh, these are the old habits and the old patterns coming back in. And I was like, mm-mm-mm. I hadn't realized actually before how it was this, particularly stuff around the house, that and that night, that bedtime, using that time, being productive, which is not what bedtime evenings are supposed to be about. I very much know that now, having written a book all about burnout and thriving. So I was like, right, no, this stops here. So I'm so excited. Now, I did say I don't want to do anything that's a daily commitment, but this feels, I am all on board. I'm excited. I hadn't realized the damage that that had been doing. Mm-hmm. And how much that had got me so addicted to getting things done on my phone and using that bedtime routine as productive work time, basically. Mm. Just because it's work for your personal life and on our house doesn't mean it's not work and using like, oh, what am I doing? And yeah, so I'm very excited about that. I feel like I'm reclaiming my time, reclaiming my me time, and I've caught myself before getting into bad habits. Number two, go for a weekend away with Fonz.
Oh, yeah.
I want to just go and stay in a hotel or a treehouse or anything and spend time with Fonz. And then number three is I'm always going to have a commitment from now on, which is anti-racism work. And also, actually, I do want to start reading books as well and start expanding that. On educating myself on other groups that experience discrimination and really engaging in my education around that. But I'm going to be reading, I've already started, Austin Channing Brown's book, I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. And I heard her interview with Brené Brown. It was so cool. And Brené Brown said her book was a book with wings, which she describes any book where she's like, as a white woman reading about racism and shining a light on her own inner racism, she's like, I want to hurl that book across the room so many times. I did not like what your ego doesn't like what it's reading. And I was like, that is such a good description for a book that like triggers you in the best possible way, challenges your ego. So that is my book for this quarter, at least that book. But yeah, so I'm really excited about those. I feel like I can totally do them.
Yeah.
Making it easy for myself to succeed. Mm. So yeah, and you know, it's interesting with the digital detox. I tried it last night. I came up with it and then tried it. I was like, oh, actually, I do have time between now and 9 because I got into bed really early. I was exhausted. I had an incredible, my first bath of the season. I haven't had a bath since like winter. I have showers, obviously. I do wash myself. And got into bed, snuggled in. And then I was just like, well, it's 8. So I gave myself some time to, you know, be online and WhatsApp and chat and do some things I wanted to do. But then 9 p.m. firmly down, read a book, watched a bit of a film with Fonz, went to sleep.
Amazing.
Had some me time, journaled, did my goodbye hello. And that's what I want to keep those evenings, bedtime routine sacred. It's not time to be doing work.
I'm really inspired by that because I really recognize I do that sometimes. I'll sit on the sofa with Pav. When I've finished, I close my laptop and I'll go, okay, finished work. And then I'll sort go on to emails and sneak in a bit more work or replying to people on WhatsApp or whatever it is that I'm doing that has me on my phone. And then, you know, I really feel the effects of it when I wake up the next day having been on my phone until, you know, 9, 10, 11.
You don't feel rested.
No.
Because you didn't rest.
Yes.
Sleep alone isn't the only rest we need.
Yeah.
We need other rest and wind down and switching off and me time.
Yeah.
Time to check in, time to like fill up your cup, make sure you're being giving yourself your own attention and nurturing your needs and looking inwards rather than always outwards what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Fucking to-do list.
Yeah. And it's the transition into sleep that's so important, that hour or so before you actually go to sleep to just wind down and like let go of the day. So I'm really inspired by that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. So one more quarter to go. And now we're in our final quarter. And oh, by the way, so in the new Goodbye 2020, Hello 2021, we have a section at the very end, which is reflections on the year where you go looking back through your journal and sort of looking at, oh yeah, I wrote these things and actually I'd forgotten I wrote that, but actually ended up doing it. Just seeing the power of writing things down, allowing yourself to dream. Even the things you forget can still take shape. So we're going to be sharing that for those of you who've got the journal this year. We'll announce how we're going to share it at some point, but yeah, that is to come. But now I feel like we can get properly excited and start celebrating the new journal in all her glory. So head on over to thegoodbyehellojournal.com to order your Goodbye 2020, Hello 2021, if you haven't already. I am already excited to get started on that.
Me
Never
too.
Have I wished to wave goodbye to a year more than this one.
Yeah, and she's got a brand new cover. If you haven't seen, go and check out the new brand new cover that matches my water bottle.
Quite today. Calming, which I think is what we need.
Serene, yeah.
You know, the beautiful pink of this year was exciting.
Yeah.
It was really like vibey.
Yeah.
And now we just need some calm.
Yeah, calm and peace. She's very serene.
Yes, she is very serene. And we've got some quotes by people in the Project Love community, which I absolutely love. So yeah, we'll be taking lots of sharing and celebrating over on Instagram with that. And I'm excited to celebrate that. And of course, we have our quarterly love-in where we're going to be getting together on Zoom. Everyone and anyone is welcome. And just, yeah, reflecting on this quarter, having some beautiful tapping from Vicky, which I'm already excited about. I do not know what date we're doing it.
We don't have a date yet, but we'll put it in the show notes.
By the time this goes out, it will be in the show notes. And or if you're on our email list to get these episodes delivered to your inbox every week, which we highly recommend, and you'll be the first to hear all of our news, then you'll find it in the email and how to join. We can't tell you right now.
Stay tuned.
Because this was recorded in the past. This has been, as ever, so nourishing and enjoyable. It really makes a difference to actually go through it, doesn't it? To write it, but then go through it with someone. So if you have someone you know who's got the journal, then I recommend you do that. And if you don't, then gift it to someone this year, and then you can both go through the quarterly check-ins and, in fact, the whole goodbye, hello experience and share it together. It does make a difference, adds extra power to it. So thank you for being that person for me, Vicky.
Oh, and thank you.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.